Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
You made it through the week. It's Friday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478. What is it? Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank on it. 646-478-3753. You'd think I'd know it by now after all this time. So, yeah, if you'd like to call in, use that number. Hey, if not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Hey, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for the new one tomorrow while you're over there. Of course, while you're hanging out at sportstimeradio.com, you want to go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at...
Dan the Man with three E's. For Z.
All right. Well, yeah, I threw myself off. I don't know what the heck is going on there. I was just out of control for some reason. I think, Dan, maybe I was a little distraught because the Red Sox used their secret weapon today, and it didn't help them. They still lost 8-2.
Did he give up that many runs?
I'm going to double check that right now because I went away from the game after it kind of became a blowout. I saw him come in the game and I had to tweet you about it immediately. So he ended up he went two thirds of an inning. He only gave up one hit. He did walk a guy and struck out two, but he did not give up any runs. Pomerantz gave up four in the two innings he pitched. Eduardo Rodriguez gave up two and didn't get anybody out. He actually followed David Price into the game. Then Addison Reed came in and gave up a couple more. So they were the guys responsible for the shelling that the Red Sox took again today. Dan, you know, they're going back to Boston now for the next two, but this series is over, right?
It pretty much looks like it. I mean, we thought the Indians were going to win the World Series last year, though. I mean, anything's possible. But from the way it looks right now, I think the Astros-Indian series is going to be awesome.
So, yeah, and, you know, the Red Sox have announced they're going with Doug Fister as their Game 3 starter. The Astros right now are actually technically undecided. You got to figure it's probably going to be Brad Peacock or Lance McCullers. You know, hopefully they'll be smart and they'll just go with, go with Peacock and try to put the series away right there in Fenway because McCullers isn't going to beat anybody. So we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, just another blowout. I mean, the Astros jumped on them right away. They got two runs in the first inning. If I heard correctly, it was a Carlos Correa two-run homer to put them on the board. The Red Sox did get one back in the top of the second, but then the Astros put up two in the third, four in the sixth, really put it away. And then the Red Sox picked up a meaningless run in the top of the ninth. Yeah, just, you know, one of those things. Correa and George Springer hit the home runs for the Astros today. Your guy Dallas Keuchel got the win. He went 5 2/3, only gave up a run, struck out seven, did walk three. He was followed by Chris Davinsky. Again, he pitched yesterday for 1 1/3. Luke Gregerson pitched an inning, and Giles pitched the final inning, giving up that last run that didn't really mean anything. So... yeah, you know, it's weird. I don't know how to describe it. You got any ideas on what's going on with the Red Sox?
It's just not their year.
Oh.
Can you explain it any other way? I mean, I think the Astros have finally got it all put together, and you know, we didn't get to talk about it, but I wouldn't say that you and I golfed at the trade for Houston, but I didn't think it would put them over the edge like that. And I mean, Verlander looked great in that Astros uniform game one.
He's been a huge difference for them. I think he was what, 5 or 6-0 after they acquired him for them. And, you know, obviously yesterday, you know, that was the reason they picked him up, was to do what he did yesterday. And, you know, yeah, it's just, you know, what can you do? I mean, we went over the stats, you know, he's got tons of postseason experience, and man, did it show. So, but how about this one for a surprise, Dan? You know, it is the playoffs. Weird things happen. You know, the Indians intentionally left Corey Kluber in the spot so he could pitch on his regular rest in game two instead of bumping him up a day to go in game one. Now, they had all their stats and stuff to back it up on why this was the best move, and he pitches so much better on his regular 5-day rest. Well, today, Dan, that got them two and two-thirds of an inning out of Kluber. He gave up 7 hits, 6 runs, walked one and struck out 4, allowed 2 home runs, a 2-run shot to Gary Sanchez in the first inning, and then a 3-run shot to Aaron Hicks in the top of the third. Which was the end of his day. So yeah, how about that for Corey Kluber?
At least they won game one.
Yeah, you know, I mean, luckily they got a really good start out of Trevor Bauer. I wasn't expecting it. On the other side, CeCe's still in the game. He's thrown 3 innings. He has given up 3 runs, but only one of them was earned. You know, I missed the air that gave Cleveland their couple first inning runs. So, but yeah, you know, Cleveland had a, you know, an injury of their own. Edwin Encarnacion had to be helped off the field. It looked like he hurt an ankle or twisted an ankle. I know I saw they called it a lower right leg, which, you know, could be the obviously the ankle. But he grounded into a double play. He got caught in a double play on a line drive and ended up messing up the ankle. So, yeah, they had to take him out of the game. Michael Brantley is actually filling in, and they weren't sure if Brantley was going to be able to play. But he is just DHing. He doesn't have to play defense. So that's a big plus there. But, yeah, they are currently they're headed into the top of the fourth, and the Yankees have 9-1-2, which is Todd Frazier, who is actually 1-for-1 today. Brett Gardner, who's 0-for-2, and then Aaron Judge, who is 0-for-1 with a walk. So that's what they got going on. And if I see it as, you know, we go along here, I will continue to update you on the fun stuff and everything going on with the score there. But yeah, are you a little surprised that they got the Kluber like that?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not going to be the Indians Astros. After all, I didn't get to tune in or listen to that part of the game.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, both games, it took me a while to find. The first game was on Fox Sports 1, and the Indians and the Yankees, they're actually playing right now, obviously. They're on MLB Network. So it's been exciting. I did finally check ahead to find out that the Cubs are on TBS. I didn't look to see where the Dodgers were. I'm guessing maybe they'll end up on ESPN or something. But, yeah, we've got the, you know, they schedule it for 6:30. It probably won't start till 6:45 or whatever. You know, Cubs at the Nationals, Kyle Hendricks against Steven Strasburg. The Cubs released their lineup, Dan. Here's what they've got tonight. Ben Zobrist is leading off in right field. Chris Bryant is batting second, playing third. Anthony Rizzo at first, hitting third. Wilson Contreras is the cleanup spot. He's catching. Kyle Schwarber is fifth in left field. Addison Russell at short hitting sixth, Jason Hayward hitting seventh in center, Javi Baez is eighth at second base, and then, of course, Kyle Hendricks is ninth in pitching. What do you think of that lineup?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think it's a winning lineup.
All right, and then the Nationals counter with Trey Turner leading off at short, Bryce Harper batting second in right field, Anthony Rendon hits third and plays third, Daniel Murphy's in the cleanup spot at second, Ryan Zimmerman is fifth at first base, Jason Worth is sixth in left field, Matt Wieters is seventh doing the catching, Michael A. Taylor is eighth in center field, and Steven Strasburg, of course, hits ninth and does the pitching. What do you like the lineup Dusty's running out there?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? I'm going to walk Harper all the time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. I did hear them say that they're leaving Harper in the two spot because they're a little concerned about his timing. You know, he was only, I think he, what was he, 2-for-20 or something like that. He didn't hit very well in his return, you know, from injury, and they're worried about his timing being off, so they want him in the two hole. Thinking it's got an opportunity for him to see a few more fastballs. You think he can he get on track? You know, I mean, like, I think you and I thought he had plenty of time. Are you kind of surprised he's not rolling now and he's still kind of scuffled?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he would have had more than enough time to kind of to get it back and get on a roll. But, you know, with the time off, maybe, well, he already had time off.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, would you say that they need him to beat the Cubs?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, they do have, obviously, they have a very good lineup. Oddly, though, against Kyle Hendricks, they haven't done a ton. Harper has hit 308 off him with a homer. And Daniel Murphy does have two bombs off him, but Murphy's only hitting 231 against him. Obviously, you know, there aren't too many guys with a ton of at-bats against him. So, but yeah, Harper's the only guy hitting over 300 against Hendricks. In return, the Cubs have Bryant and Hayward, who actually both hit 400 or above against Strasburg. And then they've got Contreras and Russell. Real small sample size there, but they're both hitting 333 against Strasburg. You know, going in, I thought maybe the Nationals had the better lineup, but, you know, I'm wondering if the Cubs can handle Strasburg and kind of steal game one here. I mean, I know it's difficult to take your fandom out of it because they're your team, but can, you know, is this kind of in their wheelhouse? I mean, are they in position to do this?
The Nationals or the Cubs?
The Cubs.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they are. They've been kind of hot toward the end, and I don't put the Nationals on the, oh, it's going to be because of Dusty they lose. You know, I just feel like they've been trying to get at it for so long that, I mean, it's really now or never, wouldn't you say, for the Nationals.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, luckily for them, I mean, they do have pitching that'll hold up. I was disappointed to hear that Edwin Jackson did not make their playoff roster. That was kind of sad for me. I was looking forward to seeing him out there against the Cubs, but yeah, no Edwin. He's not going to be there. But I did want to ask you. You know, I saw the Cubs made some interesting choices, and well, choice I guess you would call it. And it appears they took Justin Wilson over Hector Rondon. Are you, you know, Rondon has been fantastic in his last, like, nine outings. I think he's pitched 12 scoreless innings, and, you know, Rondon is, hey, you know, let's face, or, you know, Wilson, let's face it, he stunk since being acquired in the trade. Are you surprised they went that route?
Kind of. I mean, like you said, he's pretty much stunk since they got him. And I mean, even when they acquired him, I was like, oh, yay. You know, I didn't really think it was going to boost their bullpen any. So, but maybe it's some kind of weird matchup thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, Wilson, obviously, he's left-handed. You would think maybe if they're looking for a late-inning matchup with Bryce Harper, you know, they would kind of turn to him, you know, possibly. Now, you know, the other surprise thing, and I really don't know who else they could have plugged in here, but they also went with Leonis Martin as, I guess, you know, he would be the fifth outfielder in this situation. You know, he does have a little bit of a power left-handed bat. He's a good defender, and he can run. So, you know, I can kind of understand that one. I'm trying to think who they could have left off. I mean, I'm looking for a name here, and there's really nobody I seem to be missing. I mean, you know, even my buddy Tommy La Stella is on the playoff roster here. So, yeah, I mean, are you, you know, a little surprised that Martin is on it since he's only been a Cub for a short period of time?
No, I mean, isn't that part of the reason they scooped him up?
You know, I thought they honestly scooped him up for next season when they're going to let John Jay go because he's probably going to get big money for somebody after having a pretty solid year with the Cubs. So I just kind of assumed that was the reason they had done that. But yeah, hey, you know, if it works out, it works out, right?
Yeah, I mean, isn't everyone, I have trouble finding the lineup right now. But, you know, Almora is out there, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the, I guess technically you would call him fourth outfielder. So yeah, I was looking to see if I could hunt down the Nationals roster real quick and see what that kind of looked like. But not having a, you know, like the Cubs was real easy. It popped up right away once I binged it, but the Nationals are giving me a little bit of an issue. Let's see if we try this one and see if we have some better luck here. Because, yeah, I was interested to see, like, who else they kind of carried because they had some, you know, you would almost call them journeymen type of players on their team. You know, with all the injuries and stuff, they were using guys like, you know, I know Alejandro Diaz got some at-bats in the outfield, and, you know, I was just kind of interested to see if they kept him around or how, you know, how they kind of worked that out. But, again, yeah, you know, obviously they announced it because they have to, but I'm not having a ton of luck finding it, even with your favorite search engine, Dan. Bing is letting me down here today. So... But, yeah, you know, it should be interesting. I'm waiting for it to, you know, get kicked off. It you know, once it gets going, it'll be a lot more interesting or a lot more fun, you know, to kind of get things rolling. It's just like, yeah, okay, let's go. I can't get here fast enough, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Are you in that boat? Are you kind of like that? You just want it to start and let's go? Or, you know, how do you take it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why they do the two games of the AL first. I guess because they don't want to be like the NBA with the, you know, the every other day schedule. So they're trying to, you know, work it out. But, I mean, again, I don't see why they couldn't have done AL-NL instead of AL-AL-NL. But, no, I mean, I think it's – I'm a baseball guy, so – having the other 2 days, you know, today and yesterday to watch, you know, works out for me. I mean, to me, it's already started. It's just not the NLDS hasn't.
So, yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it seems odd that it's taken so long to get here. You know, it seems like they've been off forever. And it's just kind of like, okay, come on, can we get here? You know, let's go. I did finally find the Nationals roster, and there's nothing too major on it. They did, and I did find this interesting, Dan. Are you surprised that they carried their top prospect, that Victor Robles? You know, he only played 13 games this year, but they're carrying him on this NLDS roster. Are you a bit of a Bit surprised that that's the route they're going?
A little bit, but maybe he's got something they need off the bench.
I was kind of wondering. I mean, I'm trying to remember if he's a lefty or a righty, but, you know, he's young. I'm sure he can run a little. Now, compared to the Cubs, the Astros, the Nationals, first I call them the Astros, then I almost call them the Expos, Dan. I'm having a heck of a day. The Nationals are carrying 6 outfielders. Of course, for the Cubs, you know, everybody is so interchangeable that it kind of doesn't matter. But, yeah, the Nationals become pretty limited here. It's 6 outfielders, 6 infielders, 2 catchers, and then they're going with 11 pitchers. They are carrying just 4 starters, it looks like. Strasburg, Gio, Tanner Roark, and then Max Scherzer, depending on how his health is. More and more now I'm hearing it looks like Scherzer's going to get the Game 3 start, and it'll be Gio in Game 2. You know, that could change. If the Cubs go out and win, they may switch to Scherzer, looking to, to go that route. But, yeah, are you surprised the Nationals, are you surprised they only carried 4 starters?
Not really. I mean, it's a 5-game series.
But the Cubs carried all 5 of theirs. You know, John Lackey's headed to the bullpen. I did see a report originally that they were planning on starting Lackey in Game 4, but apparently Arrieta is going to be healthy enough to do that, so Lackey's headed to the bullpen. I guess just a little contrast. I guess that's good for stuff, right? At least Joe Maddon didn't hit the pitcher 8th, right?
Well, yeah, you heard me, trash him all season about how it was good all last season, but didn't work in the postseason, or he didn't implement it in the postseason. But, you said the 5 starters makes you, it's a backup plan in case Arrieta can't finish. Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? With the way starting pitching has been going, it's not a bad idea to have a starter in the bullpen. Look at like today, Kluber, you wouldn't expect Corey Kluber went 2 2/3. Sale had a really short outing for the Red Sox yesterday. Pomerantz had another one today. I mean, you just never know. So, but I'm interested here, Dan, for the series, MLB.com did their position-by-position advantage. And since we know the players, I'll just throw the names at you and you tell me who you think's got the advantage, and we'll compare your opinion to theirs. They start with catching. Obviously, for the Nationals, it's Matt Wieters and Jose Lobaton. And then for the Cubs, it's Wilson Contreras and Alex Avila. Which combo you like better there?
Wilson and Contreras.
I actually like Wilson Contreras best out of all. I kind of hope Avila never plays, but... they like the Cubs here too, so that's a big plus there. First base, you go with Ryan Zimmerman, who surprisingly had a really good statistical year, but of course he's got to face Anthony Rizzo, who is pretty much the Cubs' leader. You like Rizzo over Zimmerman here? I think this is closer than a lot of people think, but which way do you go?
Yeah, I mean this one is. If it was an election time, I think Rizzo would get 51 votes, the 49 of Zimmerman.
they kind of agree with you here. They give just a slight advantage to the Cubs, so that's interesting. Now, second base, of course, is just a hodgepodge because for the Cubs, like today it's Javi Baez, but you never know when it could be Ben Zobrist or Ian Happ, and then, of course, they have Tommy La Stella on the roster. For the Nationals, it's just Daniel Murphy. That's it. Here you go. Here he is. What do you like here?
Like you said, it changes. But I think you get more consistency out of Daniel Murphy.
Yeah, God, I didn't realize Zobrist only hit .232 this year. Wow. I knew he was down. I didn't realize he was that down. They agree with you here. Definitely, it's an advantage to the Nationals with Murphy. So we move over to shortstop. Now, this is interesting. It's 2 very young shortstops. You got Addison Russell coming back from the injury. He looks healthy. The defense is there. Trey Turner also hurt earlier in the season, but he's, you know, he's had more games back. God, it surprised me. It said he stole the club record. I'm guessing they didn't carry the Expos records over because it's only 46 bases. And I know Tim Raines, you know, doubled that some years. But who do you like here? You like Addy, or you going with Trey Turner?
I'm going to go with Russell for the experience.
Yeah, they like Turner. Statistically, Turner has had the much better year, you know, when you match up the numbers and you look at the numbers. So I'm no surprise that they're going that route here. But, you know, like you said, I mean, we'll see how it goes. Now, this one I found very interesting because we get the third base. Of course, you know, for the Cubs, we know, you know, Rookie of the Year, MVP. If you read my blog a couple weeks ago, I honestly think Joe Maddon cost Chris Bryant the opportunity to be in the MVP balloting this year. So he's with the Cubs, and then they got Anthony Rendon for the Nationals. So what do you like here?
If I went by my daily picks, you know, I'd have to go with Rizzo because every time I pick Rendon, I mean, Bryant, because every time I pick Rendon, he put up nothing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, he must have hit for everybody else except you and I because, you know. Yeah, what's interesting here is, you know, they're using a sabermetric value called weighted runs created plus. You know, that's one of the big ones. And Bryant is actually 4 weighted runs created plus better than Rendon. But they actually have this as a tie. I don't see any way in hell this is a tie. Chris Bryant is much better than Anthony Rendon. Nothing against Anthony Rendon. He's a good player. But he's not better than Chris Bryant. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I've got a new stat. It's, you know, how many at-bats or how many swings you take per at-bat.
Yeah. So who cares? That's what I want to know. All right, we go out the left field. Now they're surprisingly they're just using Kyle Schwarber as the Cubs left fielder. They do mention you may see John Jay late in the games, but apparently this is just Kyle Schwarber. For the Nationals though, they're running out Jason Wirth along with Adam Lind and Howie Kendrick. This is a rather interesting matchup because Schwarber stunk and Wirth stunk. So which guy do you think stinks worse?
I'm going to go with a 3-for-1.
Yeah, surprisingly, they actually went with Schwarber. I thought for sure they would go with the Nationals there, but they went with the Cubs and Schwarber. So does that shock you there,
I mean,
good old Kyle? Well, it is the post. Maybe he'll rock.
Well, I mean, he's due to hit at least, you know, this series, at least 1 or 2 home runs.
You would hope, yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. All right, they go to center field. Now, you know, it's Michael A. Taylor for the Nationals tonight. They do mention this is where they believe Victor Robles will fill in, possibly getting some time in center field. Oddly, for the Cubs, they just list Alberto Almora Jr., as the center fielder. You and I know better watching the Cubs all year. He's not the center fielder. So I think it made the pick a little easier here for them. But how do you see it?
I lean towards Michael A. Taylor. I mean, are we just going
it's a little. Well, they're going for the, you know, as far as it is, they go for the series. But we know, you know, like Almora isn't even in the starting lineup. I don't even know if he'll start any games. So it's tough to pick a guy who's not going to, you know, play in any possible way. You know, then we get the right field, of course. You know, it's Bryce Harper and Jason Hayward. While Hayward did improve, I think this is sadly probably an easy one for you, right?
Yeah, hands down.
You know, and then we got, you know, we get starters. So it's Strasburg, Gio, and Max Scherzer. They are listing Tanner Roark, even though there's no guarantee he's going to. Then for the Cubs, you know, we got Hendricks. Then they're going with Lester, Quintana, and it's looking like Arrieta. So which group of four do you like better?
I would love to go with the Cubs, but, I mean, we're going paper, we're going with the Nationals.
Yeah, they agreed with you there. So then they jump into the bullpen here. You know, the Nationals went out, and they did a nice job of fixing their problem. They got Sean Doolittle, Ryan Matson, and Brandon Kitzler in during the season. So that helped out there. You know, of course, the Cubs now get the opportunity to move Mike Montgomery to the bullpen. You know, and then Wade Davis, with the exception of that series against Milwaukee, has been really good. You know, a couple of the other Cubs bullpen pieces have been solid. You know, it's a pretty even matchup, but do you like one better than the other here?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, if you based it simply on closers, it would go to the Cubs, but with the way both these bullpens have been, I think it's pretty, I'm almost dead last.
I was a little surprised they didn't list that as a tie or make it just a slight advantage, but they actually did give the full advantage to the Cubs there. They really, you know, really think the Cubs have an advantage in the bullpen. I'm a little surprised by that, but hey, you know, I guess I'll take it. Or I guess you'll take it, right?
Yeah, I mean, if they had a secure, you know, Carlos Marmol pre. You know, blow up, you know, the final setup, man, I think it'd be a big story. You know, because, I mean, it's like that guy who took his spot when he took it in the closer, Kyle Gregg or Kevin Gregg, or who's the guy with two first names?
Kevin Gregg, yeah.
So, but, I
Kevin
mean,
Gregg.
Yeah, you know, if you had a solid eighth inning guy, I think hands down it goes, you know, either one of these teams, the Marlins or the Cubs, hands down, it goes to them, but getting it to Wade Davis is another story. And that's probably why Rendon has been left off.
Yeah, you know, you wonder. And, you know, it was weird because, like I said, Rendon pitched, or Rondon, however we're pronouncing it today. He pitched really well down the stretch compared to, you know, some of the guys in the Cubs bullpen. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then we move on. There is a fourth game tonight. You know, we got the 9:30 game, which has the Diamondbacks visiting the Dodgers. I got to tell you, Dan, I'm a little surprised that it's Tijan Walker for the Diamondbacks tonight. I really thought it would be Robbie Ray. Of course, for the Dodgers, no doubt it's a game one. It's Clayton Kershaw. There's no questions asked there any other way. But for the Diamondbacks tonight, they're leading off with David Peralta. He's in left field. A.J. Pollock's batting second and center. It's Paul Goldschmidt, no surprise, third at first base. J.D. Martinez is fourth in right field. Brandon Drury gets the start at second base. He hits fifth. Adam Rosales is going to play third tonight, hits sixth. Ketel Marte is hitting seventh at short. Jeff Mathis will do the catching and hit eighth, and then Walker in the ninth spot. Now for the Dodgers, we get Chris Taylor leading off in center, Corey Seager batting second at short, Justin Turner hits third and plays third, Cody Bellinger is fourth at first base, Yasiel Puig is fifth in right field, Curtis Granderson is sixth in left field, Yasmani Grandal hits seventh and does the catching, Logan Forsyth is eighth at second base, and Clayton Kershaw, of course, will hit ninth and do the pitching. You know, with the exception of Peralta, Dan, and Marte is a switch hitter, the Diamondbacks loaded up on righties, even to the expense of taking Jake Lamb out of their lineup. You know, obviously, Kershaw's tough on not only lefties, but on everybody. Are you a little surprised they went that route?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out who you were missing when you put out the Diamondbacks lineup. But, I mean, if he's that tough on lefties, you might as well keep him out. And he can always substitute in once he's out of the game, or if he gets out of the game.
Yeah, that's the thing. You may never get the opportunity to plug a guy in. Oddly, Peralta is a left-hander, and he's leading off. But that's, you know, that's the only lefty in the lineup. Like I said, Marte's a switch hitter. You know, for the Dodgers, it's, you know, it's pretty much their regular lineup. You know, I did see that they didn't bring Jock Peterson on their playoff roster. They went with Andre Ethier, you know, wow. Just kind of a, you know, veteran guy, you know, probably makes a little sense. Peterson has had his struggles. I know the one interesting move I saw, and I got to double check to make sure I got it right, but I believe the Dodgers decided to keep Kyle Farmer on the playoff roster. So they're actually going with three catchers. You know, I know Farmer played a little outfield, but I don't expect to, in a situation like this, I don't expect to see him, you know, in the outfield at all. You know, it does give them that extra move if they need to go that route. So, you know, I don't know. You know, they have a pretty strong pitching staff. I know I wanted to look to see because I thought I heard. Yeah, it looks as though Hyunjin Ryu is not on the roster. Starter wise, obviously it's Kershaw and Darvish. Kenta Maeda is on here with Alex Wood. Oh, Rich Hill as well. So I think I heard that Maeda will be the long man out of the bullpen, and it'll be the, you know, the three lefties and Darvish. So, you know, they also didn't add Brandon McCarthy. You know, I know he's been up and down injured, so that's possibly why. But yeah, just, you know, how it kind of works out there. So, that's the way the Dodgers went. I didn't hear much about the Diamondbacks, if they made, any big changes or anything. I mean, are you kind of surprised like I am that it's not Robbie Ray in game one?
A little bit. I mean, maybe they wanted to take the pressure off of him going up against Kershaw. You know, I think maybe his foot is better being at home than on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have their reasons for it. Maybe Walker pitches better on the road, or they just think he'll be okay. But you know, the Diamondbacks are carrying 11 pitchers. It doesn't look like there's any major, you know, major names. You know, the only guy who is kind of missing is Chris Owings, but that's because he's injured. It's nothing, obviously, he did. They are only carrying four outfielders, so that's kind of interesting. I know Brandon Drury has played some outfield this year, and I believe Rosales can play there as well. I want to look at the schedule and see if and when they, you know, when Robbie Ray is kind of, you know, if they have him on the schedule, is he pitching game two? Is he, you know, how's that kind of working out? So,
you know, I would assume,
would you assume Greinke comes back for game three?
Oh, yeah. Back in LA? Or, I'm sorry. They're in LA. I'll be back in Arizona.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to bring up, I found interesting. What do you think of Dave Robertson? Pretty much going with semi-traditional, I almost call it completely traditional batting lineup.
So, yeah, well, you know, I mean, they have the best record in the National League, so you can't really argue with it, right?
If it were the Yankees or the Cubs, Bellinger would be batting either leadoff or second, and not in the four hole cleaning up, you know. It's just interesting.
So yeah, it's definitely a different type of move, I guess you would call it. It's nice to see. And oddly, I looked at the game two starter for the Diamondbacks, and he has not been announced yet. But it will be Rich Hill for the Dodgers. So there you go. So much for my luck of looking ahead to see if I was going to get a Robbie Ray start. But yeah, you know, I mean, how do you argue with a team that won, what was it, 103 or 104 games? You know, I mean, I know, you know, why, you know, it's like, hey, okay, here you go. You guys are doing it. And by the way, the Yankees are now up 8-3 on the Indians. So it's looking more and more like that series will be even one. Yeah, when we go back to New York, it is the top of the fifth, though, so the Indians do have some time to come back, but we'll see how that goes. I did want to ask you, Dan. I saw that they put out the Cubs postseason hat. Did you order one yet?
Order one? I already have it.
Oh well, I saw the new one yesterday online. I was like, oh, I wonder if Dan has one yet. So.
Yeah, it came yesterday.
Well, there you go. Well, at least you're all set then tonight. That worked out nicely.
Yeah. Made me forget what I was going to say. You know, I'm
sorry.
More jaded with the LeBron Cleveland thing. So the more they bring him up, the more I want the Yankees to win.
Yeah, I saw somebody, I don't remember who it was they were talking about, who LeBron was rooting for, and they said, well, he's got to root for the team that wins. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay. So I was just like, yeah, all right, that's kind of funny. So,
yeah. But, the one thing that's driving me even more nuts is the focus on Altuve's size.
Yeah, you know, they can't seem to get over that, can they? No matter what he does or how he does it or, you know, whatever kind of numbers he puts up, the first thing out of their mouth is, well, look, he's 5'6". And like, who cares, guys? He's a great player. So, you know, it's just one of those things that I guess he'll always have to deal with no matter, you know, how many batting titles he wins or if he finally gets the MVP award he deserves or, you know, how it works out. They're always going to bring up that, you know, look, he's this tall.
He's
so,
well, yeah. You know, I think it may have been AJ Pierzynski, and that's the nice thing about having an actual baseball guy in the booth is – it seems like the baseball guys don't bring up his size. It's always the player, you know, the announcers who are that size, you know, because they don't have the skill or the build or any of that stuff to be able to play the game. So they have to be in utter shock at a guy that's their size that is actually making monster moves in this game. But you know, I think it was AJ who came to his defense and was like, oh, 165, I don't know about that. He looks, he may not be as tall, but he definitely looks pretty big. And, you know, he's definitely got a build.
So, yeah, he's, you know, I mean, you can't argue with his play at all. You know, obviously the three bombs yesterday, you can't really question his power. You know, he should have put some of those rumors to sleep. Of course, he didn't. You know, today I know I saw they intentionally walked him in a situation where they would have walked a power hitter. So I thought that was really hilarious that, you know, he's getting that kind of respect now.
He did get struck out once, but, you know, comes with the territory.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I mean, obviously they all strike out. I mean, you know, we've seen, you know, Aaron Judge struck out today. It's no surprise at all. So, you know, just kind of how it works out. It's, you know, what they, you know, what everybody does now, you know, they're part of the game. And even Jose Altuve is not immune to the strikeout.
No, but I don't know. I feel like despite what happens, I'm feeling more and more this is the Astros' year. Unless, of course, they go up against the Dodgers because that's who I picked to win.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to argue when you put up 8 runs back-to-back. So, you know, we'll have to see how it – you know, how it kind of works out. I mean, maybe the Red Sox can regroup a little,
they need
you know, on the, yeah, you know, on the way back to Boston. I just, you know, I don't know who or what, you know, what else they can really do. I mean, it's kind of like, here it is, this is what you got. And I believe they're going with Rick Porcello in game three. So they're going to need a big, big start out of him.
I thought they were going with Fister.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I read it earlier. Duh. So, yeah, they're going either way. Either way, they're going to need a big start out of, you know, whoever they get. But, yeah, it is listed as Doug Fister. It's going to be a big deal. I mean, he's going to have to, he's going to have to pitch good. He's going to have to find a way to, if there's a way to shut the Astros offense down, I mean, that's going to be interesting. I did see this today, Dan. I think it counts as baseball. Did you see by any chance that the Freeze, who runs at Atlanta's new stadium against fans, they're actually recruiting him for the Olympics? So I'm not sure what events or anything they're playing. Yeah, I'm not sure what events or anything they're interested in trying him out for. Obviously, he's a sprinter by trade, but I don't know if that's what they're actually considering using him as. I know there's some different things, you know, you can plug those guys into. But, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous. You know, he's getting basically his big break. I mean, he's been a track athlete in college, and he never – you know, got a taste of the Olympics or anything, but now that he's got a little bit of visibility, it looks like he's going to get a shot. So, you know, good for that guy.
I mean, how did that all start? And what, you know, is that just like a in between innings gimmick type deal?
Yeah. You know, it's weird. I don't really know how they started it. I guess maybe they just didn't want to do the traditional, you know, like Milwaukee has the sausages and Washington does the presidents. You know, maybe they just didn't want to do something like that. And, you know, this guy was working there. So, you know, maybe they just kind of found out that it was like, hey, man, this guy can run. You know, let's come up with something for him. You know what I mean? I know sometimes, you know, I've seen a couple of them. They give fans a pretty big head start.
Yeah.
And I think he's beaten all but one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's an impressive feat. I mean, obviously, the fans aren't trained athletes or anything like that. And, you know, this guy's, you know, been training, you know, this is what he does kind of on the side or whatever. So yeah, it's one of those things, but yeah, you know, it's it seems like it's fun. It's something different. So you know, I mean, I guess it's hard to come up with the new promotions, right, with this thing. It seems like everything's been done.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, you.
But, you know, the old throw out the T-shirt never gets old.
No, you know, that's always fun, you know, when you can, do this, you know, that kind of stuff. So, you know, but I did see Dana. I wanted to touch on this one quickly. I don't know if you had a chance to catch this, but Cam Newton did offer a video apology today.
Yep.
He went on. I guess he. Let's see if I can kind of if they have a quote or anything cool from it here. It doesn't look like it, but yeah. This is what you expect, right?
Well, this is what we talked about yesterday. I mean, SportsCam Radio at SportsCam Radio Facebook. You can view it there if you want. I don't know the original source of who posted it, but I just really didn't care to listen to his heartfelt apology. I just, today's world, you put something out there, it's out there. You can't take it back.
Yeah, Yeah, I heard it because they played it on, I forgot what I was even watching, but they played, I don't think they played the entire thing. I think they just played part of it. Oddly, his apology came out the same day as Antonio Brown's apology to the Steelers for his little sideline incident. So that was kind of interesting. I don't know who was more sincere. I doubt either of them actually meant what they said, and they were probably just kind of told to do it by agents or whatever. Obviously, it's going to cost Cam a lot more because, you know, he lost the sponsorship deal with Dannon. So.
And what was the Antonio Brown use? You didn't elaborate.
They had a play. It was just kind of weird. They had a play during the game last week where he was open, but Ben Roethlisberger was looking the other way and ended up throwing an incompletion. So when he got to the sidelines, he just freaked out and ended up throwing a water cooler. It was empty, so he actually launched it. It looked really cool. If it would have been filled with water, he probably wouldn't even have been able to move it. And then, you know, they tried to calm him down, and he just stomped away. And, you know, he kind of looked like a little kid having a temper tantrum. And all just because he was upset that Roethlisberger didn't throw him the football when he was open, he was kind of looking the other way. And it was just kind of like, okay. But Ben went on the radio and called him out. Roethlisberger called him out, you know, basically saying they don't need that kind of stuff. And, those kind of things. So, it turned into more than what I think anybody thought it was going to be. And Brown ended up having to go on and apologize for it.
I mean, I'm surprised Big Ben didn't call him out in the locker room. But I guess with a tantrum like that.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe, you know, who else? Maybe. Yeah, you might as well shame him publicly. You know, that's always the nice way to do it. But, yeah, he ran out and, you know, made his apology.
Yeah. You know, with team stuff like that, it always takes me back to the 90s, Jim Butler days. Was it Jim Butler or Jim Harbaugh? Kevin Butler was the kicker for the Bears. The good old Richard Dent days. And, you know, I was a kid and my mom worked at a hotel, a banquet place. And the Bears, they had some kind of thing going on, you know, where they do those banquets and, you know, fans get invited. And I was like 10 or 11. And I noticed a fight between Richard Dent and a couple other defensive guys. But, you know, back then they were quick to turn the cameras and you didn't get to see a whole lot of that stuff. And, you know, it just so happened to be a week or two prior to the banquet I went to with my dad. And I asked that question, and, you know, I don't think they anticipated a little kid asking that question, because there was a lot of stumbles and jumbles of words trying to answer me. And, you know, basically what I got out of it was, you know, sometimes it happens, you know, the heat of the moment. Yeah, you know, I got that political, that phrase. So it just, you know, it's always fun to know that they're still human out there, though. But, you know, back then, things didn't go public, and you dealt with it in the locker room, where today, you know, I guess my point was, with the way they showed it and the way he acted, I guess it's in Big Ben's rights to, you know, put it on the radio, right? If you can't get through to him in the locker room.
You know, and that's kind of the way it goes now, you know. I mean, everything is, you know, broadcast. I mean, there really are no secrets anymore. So, you know, it's hard to hide anything with, you know, everybody's a reporter. All you need is a cell phone. So, you know, anybody can report on anything or tape anything and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's not tough to do anymore. So, but we did have a game last night. I can tell you, Dan, I didn't watch any of the Thursday night football game. I was wrapped up with everything else going on, but, the Patriots did get me a win. So Stu and I get to start off 1-0 while you and Mr. Fantasy start off 0-1. Decent fantasy numbers. Yeah, he did. I changed it. He texted me before the game. Remember, I put Stu's picks in his slot by mistake, so I went in and fixed it.
Yeah, I did.
But there were some good, you know, some good fantasy numbers. Jameis Winston put up good numbers for you. Did you start him?
In one league, yes.
So, yeah, he threw for, you know, 334 yards to one touchdown. Did run three times for 11 yards for some extra – you know, extra numbers there. Tom Brady threw for 303 yards. He had an interception and a pit or and a TD. You know, running back Doug Martin did okay. He 13 carries, 74 yards in his first game back, and he scored. The Patriots used Deion Lewis. He only had 7 carries, but he got 53 yards to lead their team. Mike Gillisley had 12 carries for 52. DeSean Jackson, I know he was complaining he wasn't getting enough targets, had 5 catches for 106 yards, so I guess that changed. Cameron Brate, the tight end, caught the Tampa Bay touchdown, 5 catches, 86 yards. New England was led by Brandon Cooks, 5 catches for 85 yards, but Danny Amendola and Chris Hogan each had 8 catches, and Hogan had the Patriots touchdown. The big thing, though, Dan, what everybody's telling me is Tampa Bay lost because their field goal kicker missed 3 field goal attempts.
Sure.
Again, I, of course, didn't see any of these. They did say, though, I heard earlier that Tampa Bay has already brought in 3 kickers to work out today. So I assume Nick Novak was the kicker they had last night. I'm under the impression he's probably not going to have a job for much longer.
No, I mean, that gave me a loss this week. But, you know, I mean, even though I did get the loss, I wasn't totally upset seeing as the proximity of the score between both teams. I had felt like if Patriots were really going to win, they were going to win and dominate this team, but they didn't.
No, they haven't. I don't, God, have they dominated anybody? I mean, I know we talked the other day, there were people saying they thought New England would go 16-0. You know, now they're three and two. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay. So yeah, I think they were just a shade off on their predictions. But you know that happens from time to time. So yeah, but you know, as we get closer to game time, I'm sure Schomburg Stu is very excited. You know, he always gets into the Cubs. I don't know if I told you or not, Dan, but Stu is banking on Dusty Baker's inability as a playoff manager to get the Cubs a win here. So we there and how that all kind of works out for everybody. But yeah, that's the route Stu is going. I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but we will see how it works out. And you know, you got to take what you can get, right? It's your team. You got to come up with ways to get them the victory. So hopefully it works. You know, the Cubs will jump on and then be right there. All right, well, the music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. But, hey, don't forget, Mr. Fantasy and I are here at 10 a.m. Sunday morning for 2 big hours of Sports Time Radio. Pretty much it's all fantasy football stuff. You know the deal, though, while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I out there on Twitter as well. As always, big thanks for listening live. It's really cool when you jump on and do that with Dan and I. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now at tunein.com.